What's going on, guys? This is Jerome off JKB Sports Podcast, and I am going to do a breakdown today of the NFL draft that was outstanding, if you ask me. Just the way that they did it, and the fact that, you know, with everything going on, first of all, I want to say stay indoors and stay safe. There's been so many lives affected, whether you know them personally or not. Just watching the news, we all kind of know what's going on. We have no sports, but the NFL, you know, kept going, kept with the original date of the draft. But obviously, they did change some things where the way they conducted it, obviously, there's no large crowds, but they did manage to have the virtual draft, which is brand new. It was totally new, something different. And honestly, it was incredible. It was still worth the watch. Actually, it's funny because I watched more of the draft this year than I've ever watched in my life. So I literally watched first round, second round, third round, fourth, a bit of the fourth round. I actually had some errands to run, so I didn't get to fifth round or the sixth round, but then I caught them in the seventh round. And, you know, I'm pretty pleased with the draft and who we got. And, you know, just hats off to our front office, hats off to the scout team. You know, we have an amazing scout team because some of the players that we got were just, like, at the position we got them at. We really didn't make too much trades. We didn't have to maneuver too much. And that's always a good thing when you're able to keep assets for the future or you don't want to trade two for one. But just going down the list of draftees that we got, I was like, wow, what a haul. I gave our team an A just because of the value of the picks. You know, the schools that we got. We got J.K. Dobbins in the second round. I'm going to go through and tell you guys the whole list and kind of break down the value for the pick and who's what. But to me, this is like just some of the names that are on this list. I'm just really happy to see on my team. There was a couple players that I was like, I would like. Or, ooh, we could be in a position to maybe move up a couple slots, you know. Or if they happen to fall to us, I would so love that. Obviously, the Baylor receiver, Mims, he was really close. He was right before us, Denzel Mims. And I 100% knew that we were going to take Mims with that pick. But when the Jets took him, I was like, dang. And then we traded out of that pick and gave the pick to New England. And that's when I knew. I was like, well, we really were going to go after Mims. But other than that, we had a great draft. We got Devin Duvernay, which I'm so happy about. Watching his highlights, he's a little bit short on the 5'10 side, but that's okay. He can play in the slot. We still have Willie Snead on the outside with Hollywood. And then we got another great receiver, James Porche. You know, like I said, I'm going to go through all these picks, the picks with you guys. I'm just looking at this list like, I'm in awe. I'm so pleased. And this is why, you know, we have the success that we do in Baltimore. We're never out of it. You know, we're just never out of it. So with that being said, let's start with the first pick. And we picked 25th. And that was Patrick Queen, linebacker from LSU. So looking back at the classes, like I said, so our first round was Patrick Queen. And he is an inside linebacker from LSU. And I honestly couldn't be more happy with the pick. Looking at game film, there's really nothing he can't do. I think he comes in and is a starter from day one. He can play right alongside Judon on the left side. They're going to have Calais Campbell in the middle taking up double teams. I think that he can come in and obviously really step up in the run defense. He can play pass coverage. He can cover tight ends. He's going to cover backs.
he can play in the zone. I trust him in man. With you know, obviously running backs, running routes, being able to really run routes. You have obviously James Conner in the division, who's a solid back. You have Nick Chubb from the Browns, along with Kareem Hunt. You know, they still have the dual running backs over in Cleveland. Joe Mixon of the Bengals. Joe Mixon is a do-it-all back. So, honestly, I'm really happy with our first-round pick, Patrick Queen. I think he's going to come in and make an immediate start, be an immediate starter. Obviously, he'll have his rough patches, but with the rest of the defense that we have with the, you know, Earl Thomas back there, we have Calais Campbell up front, Matthew Judon up front, we have a pretty legit defense around him where he doesn't have to take up too much upon himself to, you know, come in and save the defense. We don't need to be saved, but he will come in and help the run defense. Obviously, last year, I think just looking at the draft, the way we drafted with, couple D tackles, we really kind of assured up the D line along with free agency. Obviously, we went the D line in the free agency heavy. But honestly, he's going to come in and really be able to do a lot. Like a C.J. Mosley type for the guys who are our fans who know. C.J. Mosley was a linebacker who can really do it all. He can cover. He can play man. He can blitz. He can stop the run. You know, play the pass. He was a really solid linebacker. Obviously, we know what Ray Lewis did. And those are the two first round picks that we've had in terms of drafting linebackers. Those are the past two. And CJ Mosley made Pro Bowls. Obviously, Ray Lewis in the Hall of Fame and arguably the greatest Raven to ever be part of the franchise. So I think Patrick Queen can come in and really make his mark as the season goes on. But I am looking for him to come in and be a day one starter and, you know, really fit in with the defense. So that was our first pick. I give that pick a solid A, you know, filled the team need. So I was happy with that. And then in the second round, we happened to get J.K. Dobbins. And this was a pick where I honestly was watching the draft and I had totally forgot. I obviously didn't forget about J.K. Dobbins, but I'm thinking of other positional needs. So I totally excuse running back. You know, we have a strong running game with Lamar Jackson, C.J. Mosley again, excuse me, Mark Ingram, Justice Hill, Gus Edwards. You know, we have a really strong power run game, and that's kind of what we predicate our offense on in the pistol formation. But the addition of J.K. Dobbins, obviously there's, you know, contract situations. Ingram is on the other side of 20, in his 20s, so you know, obviously, we're not thinking negatively of him, but, you know, running back by committee, the way we run the ball, there's never enough running backs for our team. So the addition of J.K. Dobbins, to me, was such an amazing pick. And this is just like a hats off to our organization, hats off to Harbaugh, to Eric DaCosta, just like our front office. We're just so consistently good in making decisions and then the right decisions to make. You have to know when to draft for need and when to draft because that's the best player available. And I think that in a position that, in a style of offense that we play, J.K. Dobbins was a perfect, honestly, because he probably wouldn't have lasted much longer. So I'm really pleased with the J.K. Dobbins pick. Obviously, running back out of Ohio State, rushed for 2,000 yards, two straight seasons. A really incredible player. One of the better running backs in terms of production in Ohio State history. You know, scouts say the pass blocking isn't really the greatest. He can work on his pass blocking. In terms of receiving out of the backfield, he can work on that too. But in Ohio State's offense, that wasn't what he was there for. He rushed for 2,000 yards, two straight seasons. So, you know, obviously, I think even coming to the Ravens, we're not looking for him to, you know, obviously, it's nice to have a running back that can catch out of the backfield and make plays in the open field. But the production that he gave to Ohio State, and he's proven to be able to contribute as a running back straight up the field you know, from handoffs. You know, we can take that and he can learn over time and become an every down back where that time comes. Because obviously we still have Justice Hill who can serve as like our scat back. Screen passes, you know, flares out in the flats to the dump off to the flats or check downs on hook routes, you know, finding open spots in zones. You know, we have a multitude of running backs that can do a multitude of different things, but adding J.K. Dobbins, a tremendous rookie who's going to come in and, you know, last year in the playoffs, like, again, going back to the way we lost to the Titans at the end of the season, Mark Ingram got hurt, had a strained calf, missed part of week 16, took week 17 off. So, you know, I won't say he's a slow healer or he's injury prone because I don't want to label him like that. But, you know, adding an insurance in J.K. Dobbins, who's going to become a lead back in our offense, him and Lamar, you know, we're really creating a young offense that can really get it done. So, you know, I really have nothing to say about the J.K. Dobbins pick. I think it was a great pick. I rated it an A just because it doesn't necessarily fill a void that we were missing, but it definitely ensures and strengthens our run game, which we are known to dominate in. And again, you don't want to see a backfield of Mark Ingram on one side, Lamar Jackson in the middle, and J.K. Dobbins on the left. That is going to be insane. Then you have Hollywood and, you know, and our newest receiver, Devernay, on the other side in the slot. Duvernay. But it's just, you know, so exciting to see what we're building with our offense. You know, the power run game is it's working. It's proven to be effective. And I'm so looking forward to next season. Just with the, you know, the potential that we have to get back to the AFC championship, AFC divisional round, and then the championship, and eventually hopefully the Super Bowl. So, you know, I'm really happy with that pick. Again, I give it an A. And with that, we're gonna go to the next pick in the which was Justin. I don't want to butcher his last name. Marupake. Let's hope I got that right. Ravens fans, excuse me if I got it wrong, but Justin Madubuke, let's just call it that. D tackle out of Texas A&M, and I just finished watching tape on him, and he is a very strong, aggressive D tackle. Again, in the offseason, in free agency, we did stock up again on defense in the defensive line with Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe. But, you know, again, Calais Campbell is upper in age. Not looking for him to really be an every down D lineman. Obviously, you know, he's going to come in and be a veteran and really help the young guys in, like Justin and, you know, Malik Harrison and Broderick Washington. But Justin can really come in and be that straight up run stopper, can come in and expel Calais when he's tired or on let's say passing downs or just running downs. You know, eventually I think he can come in and maybe possibly be an every down first down, second down. You know, he can come in a situational plays and really be a force. You know, I think he'll obviously get some time to develop with a great defensive mind. You know, with the Ravens, we are really great at putting people in successful positions. You know, that's what coaches really are for. Coaches are really there to put players in winning situations, maximizing their potential and maximizing their skill set. And he may not be an every down lineman from the jump, and you know, no one's expecting that necessarily, but I do believe in the coaching staff and that we'll be able to get him prepared to, you know, come in and do the little things that can help out in the, you know, the running game, whether it be passing downs. He does show to be explosive. He's made tons of plays watching him on game film. He made plays against a lot of big schools. You know, there's forced a fumble against Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts. Comes in and stops the run. He's aggressive, knows how to use his hands, extends at the line. You know, one thing I looked at when I was watching tape was that there's a couple of times where he was delayed off the ball, and I believe that's a scouting report where there's times where he used to work on his anticipation to the snap, just getting off the ball and firing off the ball a little bit faster. There was a couple of plays where he was delayed or he was after the ball was snapped. So, but luckily, his skill set allowed him to, you know, still gain pressure and penetrate into the backfield. But in the NFL level, we all know that the O-linemen are better, stronger than in college. So, you know, there is room to improve on him. But again, it's a great pick. He doesn't have to come in and feel like he needs to make an immediate impact on the D-line because we do have depth. But he can come in certain, you know, let's say passing downs where, you know, it's a third and long and, you know, you're looking to blitz or you're looking to do something like that. He's great on stunts. So, you know, and again, playing behind veterans Calais Campbell, there is a lot of room to grow mentally, physically, and just football mind. So, you know, look for the Ravens to really tutor him and get him going in the right direction as the season progresses. So I like that pick. Also going down to our fourth pick. So this is Devin Duvernay. As I was saying, when I was watching the draft in the, I believe it was the third round, we were one pick away from getting Denzel Mims. And I really was a fan of Denzel Mims. He was ultra productive, had a crazy 40 time, a bit bigger than Duvernay. Duvernay is around 5'10". Devin Mims around 6'2.5", almost maybe call it 6'3". And, you know, has all the skill set in the world, has all the potential to be a really good receiver down the road. With that being said, I love Devin Duvernay. He's a strong guy, strong hands, doesn't really drop the ball. Looking at what the coach had to say again, you know, watching the pre-draft action where after he was picked, you know, John Harbaugh pumped his fist in the air, really excited, really happy, saying that Duvernay is one of those guys that, you know, he was really looking at, him and Eric DaCosta. And the fact that he can come in, he doesn't have to play out wide. I like him in the slot. He can come in, and obviously we have Hollywood on the outside, Willie Snead on the other side. We have Duvernay in the slot. You know, we play three receiver in what tight end set, you know, with a running back. We still have Mark Andrews, who's one of the better tight ends in the NFL. You know, that could really pose some matchups. And again, like playing in the slot closer to Lamar, you don't have to worry about him throwing the ball all over the field. Obviously, you know, we looked for him to improve in the offseason, even though this was a really weird offseason. But, you know, having Duvernay in the slot closer, a receiver who's explosive, can really get the job done. You know, again, doesn't really drop passes. He had 106 catches, you know, so that's production. You know, that's production. He's out of Texas. You know, again, another reputable school who plays against competition that is, you know, pretty good. And you just have to, you know, again, tip your hat off to Harbaugh and DaCosta and the scouts because, you know, we were looking to, I think I was really in the hunt for a receiver, and I was really liking some of the receivers that were, you know, sliding in the draft. You know, like I said, I was looking at Denzel Mims, but Duvernay, you know, that's a pretty good, you know, pretty good pick too. I'm really pleased with him. I'm looking forward to seeing him excel, getting acclimated with Lamar. You know, again, it's a receiver that you can, you know, the slot receiver now more than ever is utilized in the game. And, you know, as almost every successful offense has a receiver that can play out of the slot. So, you know, hopefully this gives Lamar another viable weapon that can really get it done in the intermediate part of the field and go for those extra yak yards. And then you have Hollywood on the other side, you know, stretching the defense, and you have to respect his speed. So, you know, I think it was a great pick. Another great option for Lamar that's inside the numbers, you know, that can, you know, extend plays and extend drives with checkdowns and drag routes over the middle, slants, dig routes, you know, little things like that just to get Lamar the ball out of his hand. Because, you know, it's all about fast pace now, fast pace push, you know, little quick play actions and dump offs and screen passes and things like that. So I'm really liking the Devin Duvernay pick. Again, getting the timing down with Lamar and the rest of the offense, seeing how he can fit. I love it. I think it's a great pick, and I'm really looking for him and Lamar and the rest of the offense to, you know, take the next step. You know, this is a time where Lamar's in year three now. So, you know, he went from being bringing the Ravens to a playoff to having the number one seed in the AFC to now what is the next step. So, again, Lamar coming off MVP season, can he do more? So giving him more weapons, someone to play with again off the slot, I think that's an excellent pick for the development of Lamar and the offense. So I'm looking for, you know, for us to really put him in position to be successful. Back to defense now with Malik Harrison out of Ohio State. Oh. Again, just watching game film of him, he looks like a really good player. I think he can come in and bring speed to the defense. Again, we have a lot of size. He is one of the bigger back linebackers. He's around 6'4", I believe, 6'5", 240. So he is one of the bigger guys. And again, he can come in and help in the run game where we were really lacking last season when we lost to Tennessee. We just couldn't stop Derrick Henry in the running game. So we really did come in and try to beef up the D-line and the linebackers. We don't want, you know, last year we were kind of undersized just in size-wise. So adding bigger bodies that can help, you know, in the running game for us, I think is a great addition. And Malik Harrison is a guy who can come in and do that immediately. I think he has a great chance to come in and really be like a situational linebacker, whether it's pass rush or if he does end up being a starter from day one after the offseason. We'll see how that goes, given the depth that we have. But he is a linebacker that can blitz. He makes great open field tackles. He's one of the harder hitting linebackers in the Big Ten. Possibly the hardest hitting linebacker in the Big Ten. Again, went to Ohio State, played in a prestigious program, played in big games, so he doesn't have to come in and you know, maybe be scared of the lights or the game, whether it's a big game or Monday night or whatever the case may be. But you know, I'm really looking for him to come in and possibly, you know, be a day one starter. You never know. Or at least put a situational linebacker. But he's definitely going to come in and do a lot of things for us. And I'm really picked with the pick. You know, after watching game film, I got all hyped again. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see him get on the field. And I hope these linebackers, I'm excited. That's really it. I'm just excited. He can do it all. Given time that he's going to need to develop, obviously, the linebackers. You know, I don't think, again, with the defense that we have, he's going to have to come in and make an immediate impact. But, you know, I do think that as the season progresses, you're going to see him, along with Patrick Queen, you know, do some things. And, you know, hopefully they can get in the film room together soon. And hopefully this whole COVID-19 thing, you know, kind of winds down. And, you know, there's solutions and there's vaccines found. So, you know, the rest of the season can be played out and different things, but and the offseason can start. But you know, I'm really pleased with that pick. And then going to our next two picks with Tyree Phillips and Ben Bredesen. Tyree being from Mississippi State and Ben Bredesen being from Michigan. Two real nasty guys. You know, O-line gets grimy and really big. I was looking at film from Tyree Phillips. Didn't get to watch film on Ben Bredesen. That was a pick that I missed. But, you know, anytime we can just add insurance to the O-line, obviously Marshall Yanda retired, and he'll be, I believe, a Hall of Fame lineman stud. You know, really propel the run game. He was here for a really long time. Really happy that he was on our team, on our side, and our O-line. And look how we ran behind him. You know, he created a lot of holes. And, you know, I think that we covered that up, getting Tyree Phillips, who can play that guard or Ben Brinson. We still have Ben Powers. I don't know the exact way because obviously we'll see how it works out. But both those guys are capable of coming in and being starters. We'll see how we shift around the line with obviously Yonder retiring. See what we do with the left guard or the right guard. But both those guys are really powerful linemen, have a really strong punch, good feet, really big. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But anytime you're able to add insurance to the O-line with a power run game, and we love to run the ball. So, you know, and depth never hurts. You know, it's a long season, 17 games now, I believe, that with the new CBA. So, you know, I'm really looking to see how these guys fit in, seeing how they, you know, grow over time. And look for, you know, the one thing I love about this whole draft class, before I go on to our last pick, which is, you know, James Porche and Greg Stone, sorry. I really like how these guys come in and potentially can be everyday starters. Obviously, we're not a team who was rebuilding, but we have a lot of players in the draft that can come in right off the bat and potentially be starters. Whenever you have a draft class with a bunch of impact players, you know, in the later rounds, again, in the fifth round, sixth round, we got James Porche, Broderick Washington, who's a D-line from Texas Tech. He can come in. He's a bigger guy, hard hitter, great motor. Motor doesn't really give up on plays. You see him chase backs down from behind, whether it's a screen pass or, you know, dig route across the middle. You see him getting upfield and turning around and catching running backs from behind. So, you know, again, coming in situational downs and just having another body that can come in and really get some stuff done is always a pleasure to have. So, you know, again, you got to give credit to the coaching staff, to our front office, our scouts. You know, the later on in the draft, obviously we know it gets harder to find gems, but potentially we have about, out of 10 players that we drafted, we have about a good six that can start. So if you can draft 60 to 70% of starters out of the draft in one class, that's how you know you're really getting it done. So, you know, again, shout outs to our GM, our front office, our coaching staff. You know, I can't say it enough. There's so many teams that don't get it right. You know, every year there's the draft grades come out, and every year there's teams that, you know, you look back and say, again, I'm not labeling these guys with automatic success because the season has to be played out, games got to get played, things like that. But looking at the names and their backgrounds and, you know, their credentials, we have a potential six or seven starters out of this class. You know, going down to James Porche, I love him watching film. Again, I was looking at him in the fourth round, and I was thinking, like, we need to get another receiver who could possibly be steal that we can get later on the draft. And when they were talking about James Porche, I was like, okay, he's somebody that can go in the fourth or fifth round. And he came to us. And we got him, and watching him, he's saying, you know, he's very thankful for the opportunity. He can't wait to get it going. And, you know, something about his hunger and the way he plays and, you know, his leadership skills, as if you watch the tape of him in St. Mary's, he's the captain of the team. Great in open field, has, again, strong hands, makes great one-handed catches, adjusts and jumps over guys for the high point to make catches, incredible catches. Has a nose for the end zone, quick feet, you know, can create separation off the line. Obviously, I think he's going to come in and maybe have some struggles with bigger size DBs. He does look on the smaller side in terms of height, but, you know, I believe that he can come in and, again, help play the slot, another slot guy in case, you know, injuries happen, or it's just depth. You know, it's just depth. We want to spread it out. We have three speedsters now. We got three speedsters. We got Hollywood. We got Duvernay. We got James Porche. So, you know, I'm really pleased with the draft. And the last is Geno Stone. Geno Stone is a safety out of Iowa. Looks legit. He's not going to come in and be started off the bat. But watching his tape, he comes in and plays hard. You know, has a nose for the football, is one of the harder hitters. Instincts. You know, instincts is what makes safeties get. And from what I saw on film, he looks like he has good instincts. Again, I said has a nose for the ball, doesn't really miss tackles, has a great motor, will go from, you know, falling back in his zone to attacking the line of scrimmage. I believe he can play in the box if you want to keep it like, again, like a Tony Jefferson kind of safety where, you know, you let Earl Thomas kind of patrol and just roam around and be that dog that he is. Then you can have Geno Stone come in and disguise and sit in the box and help in the run game. He can come in and potentially be one of those kind of hybrid linebackers who, or hybrid safeties who, you know, can play back in coverage, but also can get in the box and get messy with it. And anytime you're able to have a safety like that can come in who isn't scared to hit, that's a plus. You know, that again helps in the run game. So again, all in all, I got to tip my hat to our organization. Again, we nailed it. We got great picks. We got great players. We got depth. We filled needs. We got two new inside linebackers that can come in and potentially be day one starters. Given the depth chart, and if you want to go young or with speed, we'll see how that goes. But again, I see potential starters in Patrick Queen. J.K. Dobbins obviously is going to be behind Mark Ingram, but he's definitely going to come in and get carries. Believe that. Justin Madubuike, he can come in and again spell, whether it's Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe, or Judon, or whatever the case may be, along that D-line in the 3-4, or if you want to put him on a rush end, you know, he can come in and do some things on situational down. So again, he's going to come in and make an impact. Devin Duvernay, well, I believe I'm looking for him to be a starter, depending on the offensive scheme that we have, or the sets that we're in. If we're in a three receiver set, I really do believe that he can come in and be a starter. Him in Hollywood and Snead. Malik Harrison, again, is another backer along with Patrick Queen that can come in and potentially start. Depending on the depth chart, what you want to do. We still have Tyus Bowser. And, you know, Tyree Phillips who can come in. Between him and Bredesen on the guards. Whatever we want to do on the left, I'm not sure if they'll both start, but I think they'll be competing for that right guard opening spot that Marshall Yanda had left behind after retiring. Broderick Washington, again, a DN that can come in and provide depth, provide a pass rush, help in the running game. He's a bigger body, high motor. You know, you always need guys like that. James Prochet can come in and, again, provide depth at the receiver position. Injuries happen, opportunities arise. So I'm really looking for him to make an impact, even in as a kick returner. You know, special teams is a big deal. Field positioning obviously is important in the game of football. So anytime you have a receiver that can come in and double up as a punt returner or kick returner, that's a great, great pickup. So I really like that. And again, Geno Stone, who is a safety that can come in and help in the run game, play inside the box, get nasty. Not looking for him to be a day one starter, but I am looking for him to come in at some downs and, you know, make plays. Or again, have him on special teams in the kickoff team. You know, people like that and players like that are going to come in and fly around and go crazy and make crazy hits, make crazy plays. So, you know, again, safety depth, you can't go wrong. With Tony Jefferson being released, Earl Thomas is another year older. So I believe that there will be chances for him to get on the field. So I'm hoping that when he does get those chances, he can come in and, you know, pretty much take advantage of the opportunity that he's going to have. Because there will probably be opportunities that he can come in and make a difference. So, yeah, all in all, I want to give my team I'll give a solid A. I believe that we filled a bunch of needs, positional needs that we've had coming into the offseason, into the draft. I don't really see any wasted picks. Everybody has a chance to come in and be a starter day one or make an impact on the team as the season will progress, you know, we got offensive line depth and the way the style of play we run, we play smash ball football, baby. You know how our run game is. So you can never have a too much O-line and too much big, nasty O-linemen. That was a great pickup. Obviously, our two linebackers who can come in and make a difference. I believe that maybe throughout the season, depending on the progression, you'll see both of them on the field at the same time. That would be something incredible, having two young stud linebackers who are sideline to sideline, like to get nasty with it, go in the middle, you know, can stunt, can pass rush, blitz. You know, it'll take them time to get back into pass coverage depending on the QB, you know. Having Nick Chubb in the division and Kareem Hunt in the division with Big Ben and James Conner and the Steelers and how they play, and you know, the Bengals with obviously Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon, who's still, I believe, is the top back in the league, a top 10 back in the league who really gets it done just on a really kind of crappy team. But you know, two linebackers that will come in and do their thing. Linemen, I guess we've discussed that. The DNs, pass rush, and offense. So, you know, I give us an A. I'm looking for these guys to come in and make plays on the offense and the defense side of the ball, special teams, whatever opportunities they come. And, you know, let's do what we can to get back to that Super Bowl. We were really close. Loss of the Titans in the AFC divisional rounds. Couldn't stop the run. Couldn't stop Mark Henry. Mark Henry, the wrestler, excuse me. We couldn't stop Derrick Henry, and, you know, they end up running the ball down our throats. It was kind of hard to watch. Actually, it was very hard to watch. But, you know, we still have one of the best kickers. We still have the reigning MVP. You know, Hollywood's going to be hopefully healthy coming into the season where he has more time to, you know, practice with Lamar and get on the same timing down and things like that and with the other receivers. So, you know, all in all, it's a great draft, and I'm really looking forward to this offseason. And, yeah, I'll be checking in to talk about the rest of the draft and other players and other teams. But for now, go Ravens. Ravens flock, baby. Again, with that being said, I want to give you guys just my thoughts and prayers, and I hope everybody's safe and sound. Obviously, we know what's going on with the world, especially the sports world. It's hitting us really hard with the coronavirus, COVID-19. Stay indoors. Stay with your family. If you don't have to be out, don't go outside. Obviously, we know there's some states in across the U.S. that have opened up. Here in Toronto, Canada, we're not opened up yet. Maybe and possibly down the road, I believe around the middle of May, things will start opening up slowly, but we're on a different type of plan. But obviously, you're in the States, you're listening to this, please be careful. Continue to just exercise caution where it's obviously needed. You know, don't be so quick to run into crowds. Obviously, you know, I believe it's Atlanta and Florida that's opening up, but please be mindful of yourself, be mindful of others, be mindful of your family that you have to go home to if you're not by yourself. Just be considerate of the people around you. You know, this is a very serious time that we're in, and everybody got to look out for everybody, you know, whether you know them or not. Think about everybody. Think about that person that you may not usually think about, you know. So let's just exercise caution. Let's exercise good behavior. Pray. I'll keep you guys in my thoughts and prayers. Keep me in your thoughts and prayers. My family, your family, everybody else's family. Let's be this together. Again, stay indoors, stay safe. My Instagram, again, I should say, is JKB Sports, where you can reach me. My Twitter is JKB Sports Pod. Thank you guys for listening. Again, this is a Raven Breakdown. Can't wait for the NFL and sports as a whole to come back. I so miss talking about sports. So yeah, with that being said, this is the end of the pod. You guys, don't forget to be safe. Stay indoors.